Amen. Thank you, Lori, for that beautiful and wonderful prelude and introduction into what is a most joyous and wonderful celebratory time of worship here this morning. It's customary on Easter for Christians to greet themselves with the greeting, He is risen, followed by He is risen indeed. And so instead of the typical good morning, let's change things up. I'll say He is risen, you respond, He is risen indeed. He is risen. Amen. And He is indeed risen. And that's why we're here. That's why we come every Sunday. And we are rejoicing on this particular Sunday, the morning of the first day of the week, when the women went to the tomb and found it empty. We're going to be hearing a lot more about that later. But in the meantime, that's why we're here. Like I said, we're excited to be here. I'm excited that you all are here. Thanks for being here and for spending this time today with your family, your church family, your brothers and sisters in the Lord. What a joy this is. So we want to welcome you, a special welcome to our visitors and our guests. We're glad that you're here. Feel free to sign our guest book back in the entryway if you would like. You could also fill out a blue card that you'll find in your pews. That's a way for us to get to know you a little bit better too. You can pass that off in the offering plate when that comes around later. If any of you have any prayer requests that you would like prayed for specifically during the service, fill out a yellow card in your pews and that's give that to an usher and they'll hand that off to me, and that's a way that we can be praying for any particular request that you might have this morning. I want to let you know here, wouldn't you believe it, on such one of the bigger days of the year here, leave it to technology to fail us. Can you imagine that? That is happening today. And so we are going to be, I'm pretty sure, without the PowerPoint slides this morning. I want to assure you that it's going to be okay. We are going to survive, and we'll use our hymnals, just like the church did for many, many years before these wonderful technological advances and inventions. So anyway, you will find, just so you know, you'll find a lot of our opening hymn, those kinds of things in your bulletin. So please reference that. If you don't have a bulletin, sneak back and grab one from the ushers, and then feel free to use your hymnals here too today, as we sing these wonderful, beautiful Easter hymns. And so I want to just let you know about that. You can see very briefly here our schedule for this week at church. We're back to kind of our regular schedule again with Wednesday activities, after school program, confirmation kids. Remember, there's a test this week, our last test, so keep that in mind. And then on Saturday is the WMF spring rally in Mackville, so please keep that in mind for those of you that are involved with that. And then next Sunday is regular worship. We are doing a new member Sunday. We're welcoming several members into our church here next Sunday, and we're excited for that. And then 2 weeks from today is confirmation Sunday. We're going to be confirming 6 of our students, and so keep them in prayer too. I think they're listed on the back of your insert. Remember to be praying for them in the next few weeks here as they prepare for that very special day. I think that's all the announcements I have. Are there any that I missed that need to be made? And if not, then let's hear our call to worship this morning from Exodus chapter 15. This is a song of victory after Moses and the Israelites crossed the Red Sea. It says, "I will sing to the Lord, for He has triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider He has thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and my song, and He has become my salvation. This is my God, and I will praise Him, my Father's God, and I will exalt Him." We're going to stand for quite a while this morning. I just want to give you a heads up on that. If you get tired, feel free to sit down. That's okay. But we're going to stand through our songs and through the scripture readings. And so let's stand now and sing our opening hymn. It's hymn number 97, the first verse of "I Know That My Redeemer Lives."
Our first song is hymn number 98, Thine is the Glory. We'll be singing verses 1 and 2.
Matthew 28:6 says, He is not here, for he has risen, just as he said. We're going to be singing Christ the Lord is Risen Today, number 104, and verses 1 through 4.
Christ the Lord is risen today.
Joy!
Revelation 1:18, I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. I serve a risen Savior is number 527. 527.
The first scripture reading today is found in the book of Psalms, chapter 118, starting with verse 1. Psalm 118, verse 1. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. Let Israel say, his steadfast love endures forever. And then we jump over to verse 15. Glad songs of salvation are in the tents of the righteous. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly. The right hand of the Lord exalts. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly. I shall not die, but I shall live and recount the deeds of the Lord. The Lord has disciplined me severely, but he has not given me over to death. Open to me the gates of righteousness, that I may enter through them and give thanks to the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord. The righteous shall enter through it. I thank you that you have answered me and have become my salvation. The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. The second reading today is found in Acts chapter 10, verses 34 through 43. Acts chapter 10, 34 through 43. So Peter opened his mouth and said, "Truly I understand that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, anyone who fears him and does what is right is acceptable to him. As for the word that he sent to Israel, preaching good news of peace through Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. You yourselves know what happened throughout all Judea, beginning from Galilee, after the baptism that John proclaimed, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. He went about doing good and healing who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all that he did, both in the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem. They put him to death by hanging him on a tree, but God raised him on the third day and made him to appear, not to all the people, but to us who had been chosen by God as witnesses, who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one appointed by God to be judge of the living and the dead. To him all the prophets bear witness that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name." Here ends the reading for today.
We're going to confess our faith this morning using a different creed than what we're used to. It's the Nicene Creed, and I've been kind of wanting to do this for a while, and I thought of it last Sunday. I saw a video, and it was after, if you heard about this, the Egyptian Christians were attacked last Sunday on Palm Sunday, and a video surfaced, and I found out later that this video was from actually a previous attack a few years ago, but the power of it remains. Hundreds of Egyptian Christians out in the street shouting the Nicene Creed in the Arabic language, and it was a very poignant reminder for me of the beauty and the power of the Christian church scattered all across the globe. And so I thought today on this resurrection morning that unites Christians all across the globe and throughout time, let's say this creed together, the Nicene Creed. You'll find it printed in your bulletin. "I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us and for our salvation came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and is seated on the right hand of the Father. And he shall come again with glory to judge the living and the dead, whose kingdom shall have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen." Amen. You may be seated. "I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come." That is our hope, and it's our hope because of today, because Jesus rose from the dead. I'm going to call on the ushers at this time to wait upon us. in heaven, we are grateful to you today, especially every day, but especially today. We're grateful to you for your abundant goodness and mercy and grace to us. Lord, we celebrate, we rejoice today because you conquered death. You gave us the hope and the assurance of heaven. And so we gather together today in unison to rejoice and to say, praise the Lord. We love you, we praise you, we honor you, we glorify your name today. Lord, help us to be faithful stewards of the many gifts that you shower upon us. I pray that you would bless the rest of this service and the rest of our time together. In your name, amen. You may be seated. We have a children's message. It's so great to have all of you kids here with us today, so we're going to call on you to come up at this time. I'll even bribe you with a treat, if I can find it in my pocket here. All right. Come on up. Easy question. What is this? Easter egg. And what do you suppose is in the Easter egg? Candy. That's usually what's in an Easter egg, isn't it? Who wants to come up and get what's in the Easter egg? Okay, come on up. Open it up for us. Oh, it's a hard one to open up. Oh, and what's in it? Nothing, I tricked you. Okay, good joke. Here we go. Do you know why we have Easter eggs on Easter? Because it's Easter, right? Okay, this actually, part of the reason for this is it represents the tomb, which when the ladies, the Bible tells us, when these ladies went to the tomb early on the very first Easter morning, what did they find? Nothing. It was empty, right? The tomb was empty, and we're going to talk about that in the sermon today and how wonderful that is, because what that means is Jesus is alive. Isn't that good news? Okay, when we hear good news, we say, praise God or praise the Lord. So we're going to do that, and I'm going to need your help, and then I'm going to need their help back there today. Can we do that? We're going to do a couple of things, all right? First of all, we're going to respond by saying, praise the Lord. When I say something, and then I look at you guys, say, praise the Lord. And you have to say it loud. This is the pastor. I'm giving you guys permission to shout in church today. You get to be loud, okay? So when I say, the tomb is empty, what do you say? Praise the Lord. Oh, man. We're going to have to practice this. Okay. Should they help you? Yeah, well, okay, let's let you guys try first, okay? You guys, the tomb is empty.
Praise the Lord!
There you go. Okay, let's try some different ones here. This is from the verses that Mr. Gillen already read for us. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His steadfast love endures forever.
Praise the Lord!
You can do louder. I know you can do louder. Let's see here. What's another one? The Lord is on my side. I will not fear. There you go. Now we're getting it. Verse 14, the Lord is my strength and my song, and he has become my salvation.
Praise the Lord.
There you go. We're getting good now. Couple more. Verse 17, I shall not die, but I shall live.
Praise the Lord.
And one more, the stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. Yeah, this is a day, you guys, to praise the Lord, to thank him for all he's done. And the last verse that was read in here, this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Do you guys, is that verse familiar to you? Have you heard that one before? Where have you heard that from? Does anybody know? This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Have you heard this song before? This is the day that the Lord has made, that the Lord has made. You guys know that song? Can you sing it with me? Should we ask them to sing it with us? I think we should do it. Okay, here's what we're gonna do. Since it's an echo, okay, we're gonna split it up into sides, okay? So you guys, we gotta split you guys up, okay? And so I want, let's see here, let's make a little bit of a space right between you guys. So you guys scoot down a little bit that way, okay? You guys scoot down a little bit that way. Now when I go, we're going to start on this side, okay? So help them out. They'll sing, this is the day, then you guys will echo, this is the day. Can we do that? Okay, ready? This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice, we will rejoice, and be glad in it, and be glad in it. Then everybody, this is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. This is the day, this is the day, everybody, that the Lord has made. This is the day that the Lord has made. It's a new day, and we have new life because Jesus rose from the grave and gave us heaven, okay? That's good news. That's wonderful news. That's why we're here. I do have a treat for you guys, though, and it's not candy. It's stickers, though, but if you would like a sticker, you can get one, and then you can go back and sit down, okay? Thanks for coming up. So come find me right now if you would like a sticker, okay? You can have your pick. You got to pick fast. Okay, whoops, and I'll hand them out. Okay, so this one, there you go. How about you? Which one would you like? That one? Okay. There you go. Okay, there we go. You can have any one of, you want that one? Okay. There we go. You can have any one of these. That one? Okay. There we go. Would you like a sticker? Yeah, which one would you like? That one. Okay. There we go. That one. Ooh, that's a good one. There we go. Got one? This one? All right. Would you like one? That one? Okay. There you go. Okay. Would you like a sticker? Which one would you like? That one? Very good. There you go. Okay. That one? Okay. There you go. And this one. Thank you, Austin. Good to see you, buddy. There you go. Before the message, then, we have a special music number. We'll call on our men's group to come and share with us at this time.
Forever with his saints to reign. he lives forever with his saints to reign. He arose.
Vainly they watch him lay. Up from the grave he arose. What victory and what joy, what life. That's what we are talking about this morning, the victory and the life that is ours because of Jesus and because of his resurrection. And so I would ask that you would turn with me, if you have your Bibles this morning, to Luke chapter 24. I'm going to be reading verses 1 through 9, and if you would please stand with me also as I read these verses. Luke chapter 24, verses 1 through 9. And we even got the PowerPoint working. Good job up there. All right. Luke chapter 24, beginning with verse 1, in Jesus' name. But on the first day of the week, at early dawn, they went to the tomb, taking the spices they had prepared, and they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they went in, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were perplexed about this, behold, two men stood by them in dazzling apparel. And as they were frightened and bowed their faces to the ground, the men said to them, "Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but has risen. Remember how he told you, while he was still in Galilee, that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and on the third day arise." And they remembered his words, and returning from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the rest. Father, these are your words, and I am so grateful to you this morning for them, because they are words that proclaim the glorious and blessed truth that the tomb could not hold you, that you swallowed up death in victory. God, that changes our lives. It brings new life. Those precious words are life-giving words. He is not here. He has risen. I pray that those words today would be impressed upon each of our hearts. Use those words today to refresh us, to encourage us, to strengthen us in our faith. In your name I pray, amen. You may be seated. I am a sucker for sunrises. I love them, and I understand that for some of you, that thought may be repulsive. Who would like to get up early in the morning? It might be easier in the wintertime when the sunrise is much later, but as we get closer now to the summer solstice, that sunrise comes earlier and earlier. This morning, the sun rose at 6:37 a.m. Yes, that time does exist on a Sunday morning, even if you've never been up that early to witness it yourself. I saw it today, and it was glorious, and I know many of you did too. There's probably a few reasons why I like sunrises so much, but one of those reasons is that it represents the start of a new day. It's a new and fresh start, and that's a beautiful thing. Each day God has made, we rejoice in it, we're glad in it, right, kids? In that sense, the sunrise on this day takes on even greater meaning. It's Easter. It's Resurrection Day, when we celebrate a new start, a new life, God's mercies that are new every morning. That's in Lamentations. This is the morning that we remember and celebrate victory and life over sin and death. It's the morning of the first day of the week, okay? That setting takes us all the way back to the book of Genesis. Chapter 1, and God said on the very first day, "Let there be light." And there was light. And God saw that the light was good. And God separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. In Luke chapter 24 now, on the first day of the week, the same day of the week that God created light, It says, at early dawn, they went to the tomb. This was the deep dawn, literally. So just as light was entering the sky, by the time they arrived at the tomb, the sun was up. I wonder if that was a beautiful sunrise. Oh, they had no idea. To get a little bit cliche and cheesy here, so bear with me. They had no idea that the sun, S-O-N, was up. In Genesis, God created light to shine in the void of nothingness. On the very first day of the existence of the world, on the first Easter morning, God shined the true light of the world into the darkest place this world knows, the tomb. The ladies were perplexed, it says. You see, that's the thing about darkness and blindness. Those who are engulfed by it don't know any different. That's a sad reality of a person, for example, born physically, totally blind. They don't see light. They don't see color. They don't see life. And the Bible is very clear that we are born, all of us, born spiritually blind. We are blinded by darkness, it says in 1 John 2. This world is a dark place. And it's dark because this world is ruled by sin and death. These ladies had no reason, humanly speaking, to think that Jesus was alive. Have you ever seen a person physically resurrect himself or herself? Of course not. It says here that Jesus had told them and the disciples many times that this would happen, but it flew right over their heads because they couldn't envision, they couldn't see resurrection. It made no sense to them. New life, light. And now when it's actually happened and the ladies are at the tomb, they are perplexed. They don't know what this is. If you came across an empty grave, I dare say your first thought would not be, this person is alive. These women had brought spices and oils to treat the body of Jesus. They were expecting to find a dead body because that's what tombs hold, is dead bodies. They were grieving, they were hurting in death and in darkness because that's what death is. It's dark. And it's dark because it's the ultimate consequence of our sin, which separates us from the light, from the creator of light, from the Lord of light. And in our text, the light shines. Behold, that's a common word in the Bible, and it's used to draw attention. So look at this. See this. Behold. Two men stood by them in dazzling apparel, and they were frightened. They bowed their faces to the ground. Picture the shock, for example, when you're in a dark room and the lights are turned on all of a sudden after a long period of darkness, and the shock and the even confusion that happens. Now multiply that by an awful lot, we'll just say, because we're talking about angelic heavenly light. From the confusion and the perplexity, the darkness of death, grief, to the light of heaven itself. The angels sing, why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but has risen. Listen to those words this morning, my friends. Because those words shine light into dark places. He is not here, he has risen. When Jesus went to the grave, he went to a place that only knew darkness and death and finality and nothingness. And he shone his light into those dark places, and he overcame them. That's John chapter 1. It says there that in him, in Jesus, was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, John writes, and the darkness cannot overcome it. This is a darkness that doesn't stand a chance against the light of Jesus. And that's really what I want to spend the rest of our time with this morning. The fact that this light overcomes the darkness. This life, this light beats death. And it's found in that phrase, "He is not here." Those are words, first of all, of victory. He is not here. He has risen. They are words of victory. There's a reason why when we talk about sin, we do so with the understanding that sin and darkness and the darkness that sin causes is not something that we can overcome on our own, all right? That's because that sin and that darkness is in our nature and we can't fix our nature. And so the next question then is, well, who can? The one who created us, right? Makes sense. That's why Jesus said when he was alive here on this earth that we needed to be born again and that only God was the one who could do that. And that's why Jesus came. He saw us trapped. He saw us in bondage, in blindness and darkness. He saw us dead in our sins. And unable to do anything about it and headed for an eternity of darkness. And so he came. He came to give us a nature where death has no dominion, but where life reigns. This happens, friends, by way of resurrection. The empty tomb demonstrates victory over sin, over sinful nature. Jesus made a way through death for us so that when we rise again, because Jesus says we will, original sin and its consequence, death, is utterly destroyed. That's what Jesus brought for us. The resurrection makes possible our new nature that we find in Christ, our redeemed, our sanctified, our life-filled nature, ours that is ours now by faith. But the resurrection makes it because of this, so that when we rise, it will be without original sin. It'll be without that sin nature that we still daily wrestle with. It's a battle, isn't it? Life. But the resurrection, the empty tomb, shows victory. There will be a day when that old nature is utterly destroyed. And we shall see God. See God and live with him forever because of the empty tomb. Because Christ destroyed death. Luther had some fun with this in one of his writings. He looked at it from a unique perspective, like from death's perspective, okay? He said that the resurrection, so picture this if you will, looking at it from death's perspective. He said that resurrection is like a plague that consumes the body. And so Christ, he said, is the pestilence or the plague, the virus of our death and of our old Adam, our old nature. So as strong, he's saying, as our old nature is, Christ comes in and he just consumes it. That's the power of Christ. It's the power of the resurrection. Christ comes in and he consumes our old nature. He puts it to death. Death itself is swallowed up in victory. The resurrection tears down this wall of separation between God and man. It's Revelation chapter 21. Behold, there's that word again. So look, the dwelling place of God now is with man. When the resurrection happens, at the end of time, behold, look at this. Now the dwelling place of man is with God. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. I hope you're catching a theme there. Death is vanquished. It's gone because of the resurrection. Neither shall there be any mourning or crying or pain anymore, for the former things have passed away. Death is dead. Only life and victory remains. He is not here, but he has risen, are words of victory. Secondly, they are words of life. Very simply, and we all know this, the grave means death, right? A full grave is a grave filled with death. An empty grave, then, logically, means life. My dad and I were having some fun the other day. He turns 70 in 2 weeks, and he is in the process of purchasing a headstone for him and mom. He bought their grave plot last year, I believe, and Dad figured that a headstone would be a good 70th birthday present to himself, and I could hear my mom scolding him on the background. And I thanked him also. I thanked him for taking care of this and not making me have to buy one before now for him, okay? In other words, I'm glad my dad's grave is still empty because that means he is alive. And I'm glad my dad is alive. The empty tomb of Jesus very simply means that he is alive. But you guys, that simple truth means everything for you and me. That simple truth means that the grave does not have a final and ultimate power over us either. The grave is no longer undefeated. A common motivational strategy is for leaders to mark and to highlight an opponent's defeat, okay? Especially when in the past, that opponent seemed invincible. It happens often. Once an opponent who seemed invincible finally loses, then the losses just keep coming. Once that opponent loses for the first time, they are seen as having a weakness, and leaders will use that then to motivate others, to encourage others that this particular opponent can be beaten. My friends, Jesus showed us that death can be beaten. And not only that, but he says, I will even beat it for you. Death no longer has mastery over us, but rather we are children of light. We are children of life. And it's all because the tomb is empty. The empty tomb, resurrection, means life. I love John chapter 11. It's the story of Lazarus rising from the dead. And Mary and Martha were his sisters, and they were grieving. They were hurting deeply. Jesus was their friend. Jesus finally comes to them after Lazarus had been dead for 4 days. And they're weeping, they're mourning, and Jesus says, your brother will rise again. And Martha says, I know he'll rise again in the resurrection on the last day. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. Listen to this. Whoever believes, these are the words of Jesus for you today. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? She said to him, yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is coming into the world. That was Martha. Mary was in the house. Mary comes running out to where Jesus was. She fell at his feet. She said, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. That's then the shortest verse in the Bible. Jesus wept because he knows our hurt. And then it says, Jesus, deeply moved, came to the tomb. It was a cave. A stone lay against it. Sound familiar? Jesus said, take away the stone. Martha, still not catching this, says, well, according to the King James Version, he stinketh, okay? Lord, by this time there's an odor. He has been dead 4 days. Jesus says, did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God? So they took away the stone. He cried out with a loud voice, and Jesus showed them what the resurrection is like when it's himself. He gave them a picture. And he showed them by raising Lazarus that day. He said, "Lazarus, come out." The man who had died came out, his hands and feet bound with linen strips, his face wrapped in a cloth. Jesus said, "Unbind him and let him go." And it says, many of the Jews, therefore, who had come with Mary and had seen what he did, believed in him. Jesus is the resurrection and the life. His resurrection, the empty tomb, means life. And it means life for you, because that's why he came. He loves you that much, so that all who believe in him might have eternal life. That's John 3:16. He loves you so much that he came, and he died, and he rose again, so that all who believe in him might have life. Do you believe this? Jesus is the resurrection and the life. Do you believe this? Because his tomb was empty, when those ladies arrived early that morning on the first day of the week, we see that in him there is victory over death itself. We see in the empty tomb that with him there is life everlasting. I want to close this morning with a story about a little boy named Philip. Philip had Down syndrome. He attended a third grade Sunday school class with several other 8-year-old boys and girls. And typical of that age, the children had a hard time accepting Philip with his differences. And so the Sunday after Easter, the teacher brought in these legs pantyhose containers, okay, the kind that look like big eggs. And the teacher gave each child one of these big egg containers, egg-shaped containers, and the children were told to go outside on that lovely spring day, find some symbol for new life, and put it in the egg-like container, okay? Back in the classroom, they would share their new life symbols, opening the containers one by one in surprise fashion. And so they were sent out. They ran around the church property in wild confusion. The students returned to the classroom, placed their containers on the table, surrounded by the children. Then the teacher began to open them one by one. After each one, flower, butterfly. I'd like to know how the kid caught a butterfly on short notice. Okay, leaves. The class would ooh and ah. Then one was opened, revealing nothing inside. The children exclaimed, "That's stupid, that's not fair, somebody didn't do their assignment." Philip spoke up, "That's mine." "Philip, you don't ever do things right," the students exclaimed. "There's nothing there." Philip insisted, "I did do it right. I did do it. It's empty. The tomb was empty." Silence followed, and Philip died not long after that episode from an infection that most normal children shrug off. At the funeral, this class of 8-year-olds marched up to the altar, not with flowers, picture this, but with their Sunday school teacher, each to lay on the altar an empty pantyhose egg. Because the tomb was empty, people like Philip, people like you, people like me, have hope. We have joy, we have peace, we have victory, we have life. Because the tomb was empty. Amen. Let's close and sing today, "I Know My Redeemer Lives." We sang the first verse of it already as an opening hymn. We're going to sing all the verses now. "I Know That My Redeemer Lives," number 97 in your hymnals. Looks like the screen is working too. Joy that sentence gives. What peace, what victory, what life. God, we thank you for loving us with an everlasting, a steadfast love. We rejoice today in faith, looking to you, trusting in you as the one who can bring us through the troubles and the trials, the darkness of life, even death itself. Because you have conquered that too. You went to the cross, you endured the scorn, the shame, the suffering, the pain, all of that, so that we could instead have your righteousness. You took what we deserved, and gave us what we did not deserve. You gave us life, you gave us heaven itself, and for that we are eternally grateful. Teach us, Lord, to live our lives in such a way as to show that gratefulness, that thanks. God, we pray that your love, that your light would shine through not only each of us, but through our congregation as well. That when people see us, that when people see this congregation, they would see you. God, I pray that your grace, your mercy, I pray that the cross, that the empty tomb would ever be on our lips. We rejoice today. We thank you this blessed Easter day for all you have done for us. Praise the Lord. Hear us now as we pray together the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. I want to read a benediction for you this morning from Revelation chapter 5, a few different verses in this chapter. Weep no more. Behold, there it is again. Look, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has conquered. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing. To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory and might forever and ever. Amen.